This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik, and with me is Sharmila Gunnison. Earlier, we discussed the public hearing that took place last week on the degazettement of part of the Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve, and we spoke to somebody who was at the public hearing, and he brought up some of the issues that were raised and what needs to be done next. So if you missed that, do check out the podcast. You can search for Kuala Langat North Forest Reserve on BFM.my or on our BFM app. But now on to our second story.
Yes, so as a little bit of an entry point into our second story, we have been asking you on Twitter, do you read or follow satirical news platforms? And about 60%, just over 60% of you say yes, you do, while about nearly 31% of you say only if they pop up, while about 8.5% of you say no, you don't follow satirical news platforms. So you can continue to take that poll. You can also tell us why you do or you don't. That's at BFM Radio, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
Yes, so on the 3rd of October, the Ministry of Higher Education, or MOHE, put up a statement on Twitter calling out Bermana.com for spreading fake news. So the tweet by MOHE reads, MOHE has never released the following statement that was disseminated by a social media account. And the statement that they quoted was a line tweeted by the social media account in question. And I read here, it reads, I was told that students like submitting their assignments last minute, so we decided to follow their beat. So this quote came from a tweet by Bermana a few days earlier, and that tweet was, MOHE is shocked by students' outrage at the ministry's delay in releasing a statement regarding university registration, and it was followed by that quote that I just mentioned.
So just for your information, Bermana.com, that's a parody of Bernama, our actual national news organization. So it is a satirical news Twitter account, and the account regularly pokes fun at politicians and the current establishment by satirizing the latest news. So think of it as maybe the Tapper Times, but in Bahasa Malaysia.
I love Tapper Times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the statement by the Ministry of Higher Education received thousands of retweets and polarizing responses. On the one hand, you have people saying that it's so obvious that Bermana's tweet is satirical in nature, and that MOHE need not insult people's intelligence by calling it fake news. But on the other hand, there are also people who say that, satirical or not, these types of content can be potentially misleading, especially among those who aren't as media literate. And really, both sides do have a point there.
Yeah, and that's why we thought that we'd explore the role of satirical news in today's society. After all, we have seen a rise in satirical news portals in recent years, sites like The Onion or Clickhole. Yeah. But unbeknownst to many, satirical news isn't just a phenomenon of the digital age. Mark Twain, who wrote Huckleberry Finn, was one of the pioneers of satirical journalism. There's also Finlay Peter Dunne, who's widely regarded as one of the best news humorists of modern times. So we know satirical news is an age-old concept. The question is, why does it even exist?
Well, maybe this quote by Canadian newspaper and TV critic John Doyle can help shed some light. So Doyle said, and I quote here, the importance of satire occurs at key points in history, usually when the mass of common people gets fed up with the nonsense being fed to them by politicians, political pundits, inane celebrities, and the very rich. Mm. So perhaps this is why satirical news has grown increasingly popular around the world and in Malaysia, in recent times especially. After all, Bermana only launched in April 2020, which is right about the time that many Malaysians have started to get kind of frustrated with politicians and our country's political landscape as a whole. So in just these few short months, Bermana has already amassed 24,000 followers on Twitter.
Mm. And a study conducted by the Ohio State University found that satirical news has real effects on people who consume them, just like regular fact-based news. Mm. The research examined satire and programs such as The Daily Show and tried to measure its impact on the study participants. And it turns out that satire has the power power to reinforce our existing political viewpoints. Mm-hmm. So in other words, it's not just entertainment. Yeah. And I think this is why we do need to maybe tread carefully, because we live in a time when fake news has become a pandemic in its own right.
Yep, absolutely.
And people are already sharing content on social media and forwarding messages on WhatsApp, you know, just by looking at the headlines without reading the content, without mm-hmm. fact checking. So it's not a stretch to think that a piece of satirical content can also be taken to be real news mm-hmm. and then shared. So for example, you know, how many people who are looking closely at the Twitter handle to see that it's a post by Bermana instead of Bernama, right?
Yeah, and just like fake news, the whole idea of satire is to mimic reality
mm.
and just to, you know, give you that double take, right?
Yeah.
That second, that pause. So maybe our guest can help to clear the air. We have on the line to help us figure out how we can maneuver around this tricky situation, the editor-in-chief of Chili Sauce, Lau Chak On. Welcome to the show, Chuck. So first of all, what would you say is the purpose of satirical news in today's climate?
Okay, so the landscape has kind of changed a bit because obviously we live in the age of fake news. So when fake news is weaponized, then satirical news is a little bit more dangerous than it used to be. So if you go back like 10 years ago, like to The Onion or something like that, right? Then it was pretty obvious that something is being done for humorous reasons. But, you know, fast forward to like 3 years ago, there have actually been cases where satirical news has been mistaken for fake news. And it's been used to, you know, push people to one side or the other. So it's a little bit more dangerous than it was.
So can you explain the difference between satirical news and fake news?
Maybe. To be honest with you, I mean, the line is pretty thin. I would say it's the purpose of publishing the news. So the purpose of satirical news would be to highlight the humor in a situation that should be obviously fake, right?
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of fake news is usually either to convince people of a different reality than what is real, or just to get page views. Because it's a lot easier to get page views with fake news than it is to get page views with real news, because you're not limited to reality, you know? You can just say, aliens have landed in Petaling Jaya or something like that, and that will get a page view, because you don't need to fact-check that. You know, you just write it up and publish it and get the page views. So because of the intention is the main difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes hard to tell whether what the intention is behind a particular article. So that makes it really difficult to sometimes separate as a reader the difference between satire and fake.
So you mentioned how the landscape has changed so much and that these lines are blurring. Is there even a place for satirical news today?
it's a difficult question because there are pros and cons to it. So I think on the con side, I've already kind of mentioned it, that it can be seen as real news. I think that's the main issue. Like if somebody actually takes it as real news, because we're so close. And of course, satire, you know, you kind of need to be grounded in some form of reality for it to be funny, right? It can't be just totally out there. Part of this is fact and part of this is, you know, supposed to be funny.
Yep.
Or is it real? And then you can't tell. So I think one of the local sites did a really good job by just calling themselves fake Malaysian news. So if they call themselves fake Malaysian news, they can publish whatever they want and then people will know it's fake because it's in the name. It's actually called fake Malaysian news. So that would really clarify things quite well. Now, Bermana.com, I mean, it is kind of in the name, but it can also be kind of looked over, you know, if you're not looking too carefully. I think that's what they were going for, obviously. But it is a little bit dangerous because you forward that to 18,000 people and let's say 5,000 think it's real and, you know, forward it to other people and say, look, this is what's going on. It's ridiculous and so on and so forth. Those are opinions that are swayed that are going to be difficult to sway back because there's a lot of stuff going on in the internet right now where people just don't want to look stupid, right? So sometimes, you know, I think I've been guilty of it as well. Like I've shared something that was not true. And as a journalist, of course, I will go up and say, look, guys, this is not true. I'm so sorry. I'm going to delete the original post and blah, blah, blah. But how many people actually do that? How many people actually, like, you know, come back and admit when they're wrong? I think that admitting when you're wrong on the internet is something that is becoming a rarity. So that's where the danger of satire comes in.
And what would help people distinguish between fake news and satire? Do we need media literacy, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is definitely media literacy. But I mean, I've been president of the Institute of Journalists for the last 2 years, and I know that this is definitely an issue in the sense of like, we want people to check the sources. We want people to make sure they know where the news is coming from. Mm-hmm. Like, not just like, oh, screen cap, it says from CNN, means it's from CNN. It might not be from CNN. It might just be some guy just putting the CNN logo onto a picture. So that really needs to go up. But unfortunately, I can't even educate my own parents sometimes about these kind of things, you know? It's an uphill battle about media literacy, and I'm not entirely sure that's the only solution there is here. Before this, let me just back this up by saying that I think what Bermana.com is actually doing is good in a sense, because I checked out some of the comments about the MOHE and some of the other stuff they've been posting, and it also seems that there is a certain amount of literacy to what they're doing. A lot of people were commenting saying, oh, you know, MOHE doesn't know the difference between fake news and satire, and this is great, and stuff like that. So I'm encouraged when I see comments like that. I'm concerned about what I don't see, like whether or not people would actually share this stuff and make opinions out of it. So to be perfectly honest with you, the satire that we've done at Chili Sauce has been limited to, we would probably say, the more educated, more liberal, more, word do I use? Educated and liberal audience on the English side. We've tried to kind of steer clear of the Malay side because we're not entirely sure whether the satire would be absorbed correctly. And that is a huge danger for us. So when we see what Bermana.com has done, we're kind of like, oh, okay, you know, they can appreciate satire too. So maybe that's a good step. I think that's a really good step. On the flip side of it, I don't know where else I'm not seeing it. So it's a cautious kind of optimism about this, about Bermana.com.
So do you think MOHE's tweet calling out Bermana for posting fake news, does that indicate that it's not just, you know, the regular audiences who need more media literacy, but also those in the authorities?
The danger with the authorities thinking that that's fake news is that they can prosecute them because we have some laws against it, right?
Yeah.
So that's the danger. Hopefully they don't. Hopefully they understand the purpose of it being satire. In that sense, if they point it out as not being true, not calling it fake news, but just saying this is untrue, I think that's probably better, mm-hmm. just to clarify if anybody is actually not getting it as satire. Having said that, I think you asked me about what's the benefit of satire, and we only do it twice a year. We do it during Halloween and April Fools, and it's got a very specific purpose. I think the purpose is the same as humor, which is to entertain and also to broaden horizons. So humor is often seen as a way to like make something safe to talk about. So when you can joke about it, you can be safe in this area. Unfortunately, you know, given the internet, there's a lack of safe places to talk about stuff sometimes. And I feel that satire is not necessarily the best way to educate people, because most of the people who consume satire would already know about the issue being talked about. So while it does make some issues easier to talk about, it doesn't necessarily make people more knowledgeable. So satire has limited uses in that.
Before we let you go, Chuck, what do you think Malaysian satirical news creators should keep in mind when putting out their content?
Okay, that's a very good question. I think the most important thing that all satire creators should do is to make it obvious that what you are doing is satire. Now, I know that compromises the artwork to some extent, because, you know, you want that kind of, is it true, is it not true kind of thing, but that is a lot more dangerous today than it was before. So know this, if you're trying to make a difference by publishing your satire, that it could be negative if people mistake your satire for real. Having said that, I also want to caution anybody who's doing fake news not to use satire as an excuse, okay? Because there are some people who do that as well. They'll claim it's satire, but it's just fake news trying to get fake views. So like they'll say like, oh, it wasn't fake news, it was satire. We're trying to do something satirical. So they can lean on that as an excuse, and I don't want to encourage that either.
Thank you, Chuck. That was Lau Chuck On, the editor-in-chief of Chili Sauce. And so just to get a sense of how popular satirical news platforms are in Malaysia, we have been asking you on Twitter, do you read or follow satirical... there I go again. I am a satire today. Do you read or follow satirical news platforms? And about nearly 60% of you say yes, you do, while about 30% of you say only if it pops up. So, you know, that's quite a lot in total. And just about 10% say you don't. But we've got some pretty interesting comments as well. Alvin, he says, I guess he does, because he says that's how society is viewed and the more powerful underlying message. Queen says they read it for stress relief. Mr. Skadoosh says, because without satire, my life would be meaningless, like our cabinet. Moving on.
Indeed, quickly, swiftly.
But great satire there. And June to Jupiter said, I do a double take each time a Bernama tweet pops up these days, though. Alvin Lau says, I confess I'm not even aware of satirical news in Malaysia.
Oh, well, there are lots.
Yeah, and lots of fans, as we can see. And Noor Anis, June to Jupiter again says, satire is something to look forward to when all other news is so bleak. And Malaysians can be very clever and funny too, of course. Agreed. And Shaz says, because satire is a form of freedom of expression and a political weapon against authoritarianism's censorship. We have a WhatsApp to... we have a WhatsApp talking more about the fake news aspect, where they said authorities should nab the scammers claiming to be from Makama or banks who are absconding.
Oh, right. The phone scams.
That's okay. Right. Yeah. Right. Instead of just the fake news, which has been more rampant now. So perhaps
a public service announcement there.
There we go.
Yeah. But coming back to satire, it's catching whatever this is.
I'm sorry.
Coming back to satire, the last tweet you read out that it's a form of freedom of expression, and I think that is actually what if you go back in history, writers like Mark Twain, that was the original intention of satire, to very cleverly and sort of stealthily poke fun, but also raise important issues affecting society in a way that it's not in your face. It gets people to pay attention. It's got to be clever. And I think that, there are a number of satire sites in Malaysia that are really very clever. I really enjoy following the Tepper Times.
No, and I am, and you're right when you say clever, because I think people underestimate how much, talent, and intelligence it takes to actually write satire, to create parody. Because it both needs to be funny, but it also needs to hit people in a way that is recognizable. And I do understand how sometimes these mistakes can happen, and I think the lines blur even more when you're not talking about, say, an article the way something like The Onion or Tapper Times does, versus just a tweet or a WhatsApp forward, because with those, there's a lot less context, and it's a lot more difficult to maybe see from a Twitter handle whether something is satirical or not. But I do think that media literacy is something that we've been struggling with. We've talked a lot about how important it is on many shows. And I think that this is part of it, because I don't think satire is fake news.
Not at all.
Yeah, and Chuck brought up a great point that something being satirical isn't an excuse to spread fake news either.
Yeah. And I think beyond just media literacy, it seems to be it's about social media literacy today, right? About anything that comes onto your feed needs just a little bit more deliberation. Because I think, like you said, there is a very clear line drawn between satire and fake news, and all it takes is just that half a minute to read it, and you will get it. You will
half
see.
Half a minute? Who has half a minute these days, shall we? I'm pressing forward already.
I know. I've lost you already, haven't I? So, I don't know. I think that social media is a very potentially dangerous space if people are losing that ability to analyze and to just think about what's coming across on their feeds.
And I think a little bit on what Chuck said earlier, social media also makes it a lot more difficult to figure out who your audience is.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, I think a lot of these, like Tupper Times, for instance, or Cracked, they have a pretty good idea of the level that their audience interact in and what kind of language they might speak, how they communicate. And so you write to that level. With social media, that's like an open Twitter account, that's a lot less easy to do. And so the messaging you put out isn't targeted anymore. And so then it gets misinterpreted and reshared and retweeted. And I think that's also part of the problem.
Okay. Well, if you have any thoughts on this issue, please do tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. We'd love to hear from you. But that's all the time that we have for today's Daily Digest. You can look us up on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture if you'd like to drop us a message there. And if you missed any part of this show, look up our podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news, it's Front Row, and Shamla will be speaking to Kathy Rowland, co-founder and managing editor, as well as Nabila Syed, editor of Arts Equator, on saving this arts and culture media platform. So we'll leave you now with some disco, Donna Summer with This Time I Know It's For Real, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.